Good job, Jerry.
Yeah.
Was using a
He
reminder.
do that all on his own?
No, Margo reminded me.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that. All right.
It's kind of slow tonight.
Dorothy, good to see you.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello, everybody. It's
Hi.
So good to be with you all tonight. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you all. I feel like I've been a dropout forever, but I don't know if life gets in the way.
We're glad you're dropping in.
That's right.
And I'm so glad you all are there to let me drop in too. So what's going on with everybody? Everybody good?
Yep.
Holding on.
Everybody survived Derby?
Survived. Yep.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Glad it's over.
It was so beautiful for a change, wasn't it?
I know
it.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. All those people come in and spend all that money and get rained on normally. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. It was good.
It was.
Okay.
Another derby come and gone.
No kidding, Diane. And they're coming and going faster and faster, aren't they?
I tell you, that's race don't take 2 minutes and it's over.
Oh my gosh. Oh. And how about we're almost halfway through this year? I mean, that really scares me.
Let's take a few minutes.
And thought about that.
Kind of settle down, settle in. Couple of breaths. Don't be concerned about quieting the mind so much as just letting it chatter. Just allowing yourself not to get caught up in the chatter. Like watching clouds go by. They're still there, they don't disappear. I notice them. I might even notice what they look like. I let them pass by and pass through. You can open your eyes when you're ready. I became aware as I was reading over last week's reflection and this week's couple of pages that all of our questions, all of our doubts, all of our suppositions come from our limited consciousness, or our small self, if you might use those words. And so that it might be interesting to stop for a minute every once in a while when you find yourself, or when I find myself, getting into questions. What about this? What about that? What does that mean? To just let go of that for a minute and let my higher consciousness take over, even though it might not give me a definitive answer that's intellectually satisfying. I realize that most of the answers that I'm looking for are ways to placate my ego, my personality, or my intellect. And they really have absolutely nothing to do with my higher consciousness or my spiritual life. And I'm a great one for talking about that, because I get caught up in that all the time. So I'm just suggesting that, to be aware of it. Doesn't mean don't ask questions, because we all need to do that anyway. I know I do. But to become aware of where those questions are coming from, what aspect of our consciousness or what aspect of self is asking those questions, and what would it finally be satisfied with, if anything? I remember a teacher of mine once said, you know, if I were to tell you, if I were to whisper in your ear the meaning of life, and it was true, that you would be satisfied with that for 4 or 5 minutes, and then your mind would kick in and say, yeah, but what about dot, dot, dot? And it'll always be there. That's just the way the mind works. The mind is meant, I think it's part of our trip. The mind is meant never to be satisfied. It's just its nature. So as soon as I try to satisfy the mind, especially with something in the physical world, I can rest assured that it's not going to last very long. And just, I'm suggesting this more to myself than I am to you, probably. Let's just be aware of that one. Doesn't mean don't ask, but it means let's take a look at where that's coming from and what it is that I'm looking for in the answer. Because see, when the intellect asks a question, the answer is already somewhat formulated, and the purpose of asking the question is also somewhat formulated as well. In other words, here's what I expect from the answer. It will satisfy me. It will give me a pat on the back. It will resolve itself as an intellectual idea that will be perfect for the moment, whatever it happens to be. So I'm going to begin on page, towards the bottom of page 102. Paul is interrupting. Well, let me read the sentence that comes before that. But it is you, not an idealized version of you, not the prettified version, not the version of you that the ego has created, but the essence of who you are that is far beyond what the ego could even possibly imagine. And it's not perfect, because the classroom hasn't disappeared just because you're a spiritual being. Just because you realize you're a spiritual being the classroom didn't just, classroom's still here. And as long as the classroom's still here, there's still something to learn. As Richard Bach put it so wonderfully in the book Illusions, if you want to know if your task in life is finished, if you're still here, it isn't. So there's still stuff that you and I have decided that we need to learn, grow with. And it might be very similar to some stuff we had in the past. It doesn't mean that you know, the stuff that I'm dealing with right now is all brand new. Because I don't know about you, but some lessons bite me on the behind that have been biting me on the behind for 45 or 50 years. And they're still there. And they still have teeth. I've got scars to prove it. And once I settle it, once I heal it, once I let go of it, once I transform that energy, I can breathe a big sigh of relief and say, well, that's done. But as soon as I say that, right, there's another lesson around that same thing that's right around the corner. So for me, one of the things that gets me is what I sometimes refer to as my not enoughness. And that can show up in so many different forms. It can show up with music, it can show up with teaching, it can show up with just all kinds of things. And once I get one particular area settled, it's almost like playing whack-a-mole, all right? I get this one settled and it pops up over here someplace. And I'm not saying that as a judgment. I'm saying that that's, to me anyway, that's a really good indication of a life lesson that I came here to learn from, especially if it keeps popping up in different areas of my life. And I might as well accept it as being part of my learning rather than trying to push it away. So if it shows up again and say, ah, there you are, my old friend, not enoughness. What are you trying to teach me? What do I need to heal? What do I need to transform? What do I need to let go of? And so I can become, I don't have to look at it as being the enemy anymore. I can be rather gentle with it and allow it to be rather, I say, oh, there you are again. I haven't squeezed all the juice out of the lemon yet. There's more to come. So what do you have to teach me today? What do I have to learn from you today? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to transform? What do I need to heal? Paul is interrupting. Well, what of the world then? Is it a prettified world? Is it a peaceful world? Is the same world on the higher octave? What do we see? Again, we have to remind you that what you anticipate is a product of logic, willful, wishful thinking, inherited ideas. In other words, you ask the question and you already have a supposition of what the answer is supposed to look like. And the answer of what it's supposed to look like is coming from our limited consciousness. So it's almost a setup. Even your mind's not going to be particularly satisfied. The manifest divine, or the true self as who and what you are, in knowing, knows what she sees. She excludes nothing from the fabric of the divine because all things are in manifestation. Everything is in manifestation. Everything has a teaching. Everything has a lesson. It's not just, oh, all of those good things in my life have, or maybe you're a pessimist. And all those bad things in my life have lessons. The good things, I don't have to worry about. They'll just take care of themselves. I mean, what is it? The way the Course puts it is that you've learned how to live. You understand how to learn through pain. Now it's time to understand how you can learn through joy. I'm waiting for that one. Now, on occasion, it will come through when I'm not trying to force something to happen. So that might be another really good question to ask ourselves periodically. Can I do this? Can I do this joyfully? I had a therapist who worked with me a number of years ago. She was really good in a lot of different methods and modes of therapy, some of which involved guided imagery and things like that. But she used to start off every session of standing right up next to me, almost in my face. She would grab a hold of my hands. And she did this little exercise in kinesiology. She said to my body, said, give me a yes answer, give me a no answer. So yes answer usually meant that you couldn't push my hands as hard as you wanted to, nothing would move. A no answer would be just no energy. Give me a yes, give me a no. And then she would say, the work that we do today, can we do it gently? Can we do it gently? And she would stay with that until the answer was yes. Can we do this gently? What a wonderful question. And wouldn't we do that with someone we love, who is we're teaching a lesson to, or is asking us to teach them? Wouldn't that be our point of view? Can I do this? We wouldn't even have to ask the question. Can I do this gently? It would be the heart's desire to do this gently. We wouldn't even have to think twice. Can I do this gently? Can I do this lovingly? Can I do this joyfully? She excludes nothing from the fabric of the divine because all things are in manifestation. But we will say that the presence of the divine in its interaction with a lower vibrational field reclaims the field and lifts it to its knowing, its purview. And the claim we make and will continue to make, I have come, is the announcement that claims the resonance of the manifest world to the Christ itself. Put in very simple words, it's reflective of the question, how could I see this differently? Or I could see peace instead of this. Always, always, always that choice is available to us. It's not about my emotions. It's not about my feelings. It's about the realization that goes beyond my emotions and beyond my feelings. The claim we make and will continue to make, I have come, is the announcement that claims the resonance of the manifest world to the Christ itself. How can I see the Christ in this? Maybe see is not a great word, because as soon as we say see, we start relating that to physical seeing, the sense of seeing. Here's a way I would put it for myself. This might not be your problem. So if it isn't, don't worry about it. How can I get a sense of the presence of Christ in this situation? How can I get a sense of the presence of Christ in this situation? For me, that serves me a little bit better than saying, how can I see the Christ? Because what happens in my brain, my very limited consciousness, as soon as I do that, I translate seeing into some, at least in part, I translate it into the physical sensation of seeing something. And I kind of get lost in that one because I don't have a tremendously visual imagination. Most of my imagination is rather kinesthetic. Goes more on energy and feelings. So when I say see, it doesn't work a whole lot for me. Getting a sense of something for me is much more beneficial. Helps me, might help you. Now, the idea that we wish you to understand is recreation or recreation. Recreation. Manifestation in the higher octave is recreation. Manifestation in the higher octave is recreation. Let me remind us, when we speak of manifestation, there's at least two different levels of manifestation. One is that manifestation that we've all learned or been taught through books or movies like The Secret, that have to do about creating something in the material world that did not exist there before. So I'm going to create the perfect job. I'm going to create wealth and abundance. I'm going to create the perfect relationship. Nothing wrong with that. That's part of the process. That's where most of us kind of stop in the process of manifestation. But there's a second level or a deeper level of manifestation, and that is not creating something out of nothing, or not creating something that's not there anymore, right? But uncovering something that is already there. So in other words, we're not creating a connection between you and your divine consciousness. We're opening ourselves up to that that's already the truth. You already are divine. You already have that energy within you. We're not creating that. It'd be, let's say, in just an example. In Unity, one of the things we're doing as a sermon topic area is we're dealing with something that Unity calls the 12 powers, our 12 different forms of energy that are reflective of our spiritual being. And we're not creating those powers. We're giving you the opportunity to realize that they're already there. So anything we talk about here, especially in terms of manifestation, we're speaking about something that is already there that you might not be consciously aware of yet. So we're not creating something out of nothing. It's not the little engine that could. I think I can. Right? It's already here. The perfection of who you are is already here. All you got to do is recognize it. So much of the message of Jesus was about that. The perfection of who and what you already are is already here. When John the Baptist came out of the desert and he said, repent, he didn't mean, you know, you're a whole bunch of sinners and you're awful and you're horrible. And so think about how horrible you are and maybe something will change. Repent literally means change your thinking. Change how you see yourself. Change how you think you see yourself. The good news is you're not who you think you are. It's already here. The announcement that claims the resonance of the manifest world to the Christ itself. The world I have created, the manifest world that I've created, which is full of all kinds of stuff, because I the way the Course in Miracles puts it, is that we're always creating. And you're either creating from default, you're just creating from our ego, limited personality consciousness, or you're creating from divine consciousness. Now, certainly the world that we live in, the world that we see, the world that we perceive is a world that has been created from very, very limited, fearful consciousness. And I am just as responsible for that as the guy with the AK-47. It's my world. I have a choice today. Do I choose to play Ain't It Awful? Or do I say, if I see it out there, that basic metaphysical principle, if I see it out there, it's going on in here. What do I need to, what is the violence I need to heal within me? What is the fearfulness I need to heal within me? What is the limitation I need to heal within me? Not making a judgment about myself, but keeping it really, really simple. And again, I come back to this quite often. If I see it out there, it's happening in here. One of Margot's heroines, Peace Pilgrim, suggested that when enough of us reach a level or an understanding of inner peace, there will be no more war. It will be a concept that just is blown. It's just not there anymore. And I have a little tiny, seemingly a little tiny grain of sand, a little tiny piece that I can contribute to that reality. Because for the last couple of minutes, I've been at peace. Okay? That's good. That's better. That's better than nothing, mm-hmm. man. All right?
Sure is.
And so, you know, again, every little bit counts and every little bit helps.
So, Jerry, if we heal it in here, in ourselves, in our heart, it'll go away, what we're seeing, the violence?
Yes.
And the picture?
That's the truth.
It goes away?
That's the metaphysical truth behind it. Yes, it goes away.
Wow.
Now, don't bank on that just in a material world sense. I go back to Thomas Merton on the corner of 4th and Walnut. When, first of all, he saw everybody as beings of light, which was miraculous in itself. But then what he said, which continually moves me, was, I realize that I love all these people. I don't know them in the physical sense. I don't know them in the material world. I don't know their name or their phone number or how much money they have in the bank. I don't know anything about, but I realize that I love all these people. In other words, everything about them is lovable. I see them or I perceive them with the eyes of the Christ. And anything that they might have done, even any thoughts that they might be holding on to, are rather irrelevant compared to my willingness to be able to see them as they truly are. Everything else, at that moment anyway, everything else disappeared except my love for them. And if I want to flip it around, their love for me. You see, it's a little bit tricky. Because we're not talking about physical manifestation here. We're talking about the realization of the truth of who you already are inside your being. So that there are going to be moments. This is not going to make sense to your intellect, but I'll say it anyway. When you are in a moment of lovingness or forgiveness or bliss, and you are not thinking about war or violence or hatred, it does not exist. It does not exist in that energy that you have created. Now you can bring it back if you want to 5 minutes from now or 30 seconds from now and say, well, okay, time to watch the news. Time to get wrapped up in Ukraine. Let's see what Trump did today or didn't do, right? Whatever it is. You know, but during that, I want to say during that time, but that's a limitation. During those phases, those awarenesses of higher consciousness, war, anger, hatred, fear, limitation does not exist. It cannot. So this is not something new. This is not something out of the ordinary. You already know how to do this. You already have done it. Now the intellect is going to be searching for, well, is that right? I'm not sure whether that's correct or not. Blah, 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 blah. Stop for a minute. You already know that there have been moments in your life today, maybe in the last 45 or 30 minutes that we've been together here so far, there have been moments in my life when I have been free of anger, fear, depression, judgment. And in those moments, in those states of consciousness, war, anger, fearfulness, violence did not exist. That's what we're talking about. Even though your mind wants to go, but. Kathy?
What a great way to think about that, because the minute you said that, I could look back at moments of joy. Just doesn't have to be anything big. Mm-hmm. Looking at a sunset, looking at a tree, kissing a baby, talking mm-hmm. to a grandchild. When you feel nothing but joy, that crowds out all of the bad in the world.
You're right. It does.
That's the most beautiful way to put that. I would never have thought of it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's our contribution to the whole, to the unity consciousness. Because that energy that we have created that runs over or is not attached to violence or fear or any of those negativity things, that reverberates through the entire universe. It's not just mine. It's not just yours. It doesn't just belong to people on Tuesday night. It reverberates through the entire, it affects everyone and everything.
I love thinking about that right now. It makes me feel powerful. It makes me feel like a contributor to something good.
Because you are, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for pointing that out. Now he goes back to knowing a chair, and I wish he wouldn't use the chair as an example, but say it anyway. We're on top of page 103. Well, you may know a chair as a chair, and you may inhabit the chair. Your recognition of the chair in the upper room or the higher octave is a translated remembrance of the old without carrying with it identity or baggage the object has held. Let me try and think of something else that might be, I would consider to be a better example. Instead of a chair, let's say a book. A book that you really like, a book that touched you. Okay? Now, I know it probably touched you in a spiritual sense, but it also probably touched you in a material sense as well. You know, you could feel your heart opening with it. So let's just say this, say you think about a book. I'll think about Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. While you may know a book as a book, and you may inhabit that book, think of the memories that it brought forth in you, how you felt when you were reading it, how you were touched when you were reading it. Your recognition of that book in the upper room or the higher octave is a translated remembrance of the old without carrying with it the identity or the baggage the object has held. So in other words, I look at it as being a teacher, something wonderful has come across in my life, but I'm no longer attached. I'm no longer saying it taught me something. What it did was it brought forth something within me that was already there. It's like the Latin word educare means to draw out of rather than to pound into, okay? We've kind of screwed up that translation. School means, you know, you pound it into somebody. Educare is drawing out what is already there. And so what they're saying here, let's say if we use a book as an example here, it is the recognition that what I attributed to the book, oh, that was so good for me, that taught me so much, that was such a wonderful book, it changed my life, on and on, is when I reach that understanding in the upper room or the higher consciousness, I'm still grateful, but I recognize that it wasn't the book itself that did anything, or it drew out from inside of me what was already there. And I go, oh, so I can let go of the power I put in the book, and reflect on the power that I recognized within me that the book might have helped me realize. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
In the new, the book is known. In the new, everything you see is known and reinterpreted, re-spoken, if you wish, in the language of the true self. Beyond time, beyond thought, beyond space, beyond definition. It's what we just did a few minutes ago when Kathy was talking, right? There was nothing there we needed to define. All you did was express a consciousness that had come to your realization, and how that consciousness was somewhat pivotal in making a change in awareness for yourself. And how joyful that was, how expansive that was. It's like, oh, I can do this now. I don't have to wait for something to happen. I don't have to wait for my grandkids to show up to be loving. I can love them from a distance. So, well, that, again, that's my limited self. I can love them way up. It seems like I'm loving them from a distance, but I'm really not. I'm just loving them right now, even though they're not physically present to me. Now, what does that mean, he asked. Again, here's Paul with his little mind questions. But you notice what the guides do. They don't put him down. They don't say, why don't you get with the program? Right? They say, we will address your question, but the answer will come to you not in a revelation or a manifestation in lower consciousness, but it will come to you on a higher level of your being. But you must be open to that in order to allow that to happen. Because most of the time when we ask a question, we already have, as I said before, we already have a preconceived notion of what the answer is supposed to be. We don't even realize that sometimes. But guess what? When the answer given to us doesn't satisfy us, we get kind of ticked off. That's not what I wanted. Now, what does that mean, he asked. Well, the true self's language is vibratory. It's energetic. And the language of the divine, this is really interesting. The language of the divine, while utilizing the small self's vocabulary, that's all it's got to work with. Don't have a new language. Actually exists in a new way. Through intonation and verbiage, the descriptors you use in new ways are simply significators of your new relationship with that which is now manifest. We just did that. Again, the divine self is the one expressing here. And while she has the ability to utilize all you have known, she is translating language or vibratory tone in explicit ways with profound effect upon the outside world. It's just what we talked about a minute ago. Translating language or vibratory tone in explicit ways with profound effect upon the outside world. What does that mean, he asked. I don't understand. Things are spoken into being in recognition of what they truly are, not what they have been. And the realization of the divine as you, or the word in action, is an articulation, not only of tone, vibration, and consciousness, but it is the conduit for the expression of the divine to flow through. And the divine as you is in no way limited by the articulations that you have utilized throughout history. Realization and openness to the truth of who you are is not limited by the mistakes or the limitations we might have made in the past. Oh, I missed that golden opportunity. to be a loving being. I was too busy. I was too wrapped up. Forget about it. It's gone. Whether you realize it or not, you did the best you could do under the circumstances. If you were to put yourself back in the same situation, wrapped up in the same self-concern, you probably would do the same thing. Be gentle with yourself. The divine as you is in no way limited by the articulations that you have utilized through history. In other words, don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. One of my favorite one-liners from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. Because you're not. And as soon as you start thinking you are, you're lost in limitation. And you're literally, you're punishing yourself. So what it says here is so cool. Where's that one sentence I want to get back here? The paragraph before that, the bottom paragraph. The divine self is the one expressing here. And while she has the ability to utilize all you have known, she is translating language or vibratory tone in explicit ways with profound effect upon the outside world. The realization of the divine as you, or the word in action, is an articulation not only of tone, vibration, consciousness, but is the conduit. You are the conduit for the expression of the divine to flow through. You are that divine conduit. I've been working on a model that I haven't been able to present. I got some drawings and some artwork to go with it, but, and I might have mentioned this before, but sort of a model for understanding this, of that. And I'll close with this before we do a meditation. We're all aware that we have an ego and a personality, and that we created that ego and personality consciousness as part of our vehicle. It's part of our chosen vehicle here on planet Earth. We got a little bit lost along the way, and we thought that was who we are, but it's not. Our personality and my ego consciousness are creations that I've made that are part of my learning experience, part of my interaction with the material, the external world. Now, what I've begun to realize is some spiritual paths will talk about getting rid of the ego. It's no good. Wipe it out of the picture. It's an illusion. Get rid of it. And again, this is simply my reflection. What I've begun to realize, at least for myself, is that my ego and my personality, my limited small self, small consciousness, is actually like a lens. And the divine light, which is equal in every one of us, the divine light that shines through that particular lens creates a unique energy that will never be repeated again on planet Earth. It will never come again, never has been there before, never will be there again. So instead of throwing my personality and my ego consciousness away, I look upon it as sort of like being this lens through which the divine light shines through. And as it shines through this unique energy of my personality and my ego consciousness, it brings to the manifest world something that is so powerful and so unique, it will never be there again and can never be there again. And each one of us, I believe, has that potential, that capability. It's not about getting rid of it so much. It's just about not identifying. It's not who I am. But it is that divine lens through which the divine light shines through. And as the divine light shines through it, the manifestation is something totally unique that will never be here again, and contributes to this marvelous, huge tapestry that is part of this universal consciousness. It might just be a little piece of thread, a little color here and there, but it is unique. And it's a unique expression of divine consciousness. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You cannot not be. And you'll probably forget that 5 minutes from now, but you can always remember again. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. So I'm going to ask you to put your stuff down. Seems like a logical place to stop. Interesting, I'm making that an intellectual, logical place to stop. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spock. It's a logical place to stop, so we better stop there. Sure. So yeah, I just stuck my finger in a mousetrap, okay? Went bump, and went like, gotcha. I'm still here, man. Okay, still here. So I can be thankful for that, because whether it was a logical place or not, let's say it was the perfect place to stop for each one of us. So I'm going to ask you to kind of relax into your comfortable space. You can close your eyes if you like. A couple of breaths. And allow your breathing to find its own natural rhythm. And as it does, become gently aware of your physical body. But create a little bit of a distance between your awareness and your body. You're sensing it, what's going on. And just let whatever is going on in your body, let it go on. As you remind yourself, I have a body, but I am not my body. I am more than that. And then become aware of your feelings, your emotions, whatever might be rocking around inside. Some of your emotions you might realize have names. You can name them. You understand them. They might be pretty predictable. And there might be others that you can't name. That's okay too. They're just there. Part of your interaction with the external world. Sometimes interaction with your own mind. And you can remind yourself gently that I have feelings, I have emotions, but I am not my feelings, I am not my emotions. I am more than that. And then do something rather similar with your mind, your thinking mind. Notice that your mind is constantly, constantly producing thoughts. Some thoughts are meaningful. You sort of become attached to them right away. Some are irrelevant. Some are even rather silly, innocuous. You just kind of let go of them automatically. Would you let go of all of that for a moment as you remind yourself, I have a mind and I have thoughts, and yet I am more than that. I am more than my mind. I am more than my thoughts. I have a body. I am more than my body. I have emotions. I am more than my emotions. I have a mind. I am more than my mind. I am more than all of that. And I allow myself to be at peace as best I can with that more of me. It goes beyond the body, beyond the emotions, beyond the thoughts. And I let myself be. I let myself be in the spaciousness. Where there's no other place to go. Nothing else I need to do. And get a sense that you can breathe all of that into your being. There are no boundaries or limitations to my awareness. Know that you can take this with you. You have it with you. breathing in and breathing out. The rhythm of your breath, the rhythm of your heartbeat. And when you're ready to, you can take another deep cleansing breath. Knowing that you are putting on your body like you're putting on a coat. It's not who you are. Just part of our vehicle here on planet Earth. And when you're ready to, you can stretch a bit more. And open your eyes. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry, Margo, everybody. Thank you
so much.
Great gift.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome, guys.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Good to Jerry. See you, Kathy. You,
Good gentle. To see all of you. Yes. All. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.